Lorraine and Trev finally have a night to themselves. Their daughter Liv is out, but they can't help worrying.
Weird. Liv hasn't texted us yet.
That's Liv asking for more data so she can upload a dance to...
Let me guess. TikTok.
Data sent. Lorraine and Trev kick back to their saucy rom-com.
Now she wants picking up.
Typical.
Share data with your kids when they run out. Search EE Mobile.
Excludes no-frills plans. Terms apply.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
6 minutes after 12 is the time. I mean, this is almost Mystery Hour territory, but just to correct a couple of things I said earlier, the tale of Mark Menzies hiring a Brazilian sex worker who had been refused entry to the country on at least three separate occasions is not part of the new scandal. It turns out that this fella has been scandal adjacent now for some time. There's another story about the police being called when he had allegedly got a dog drunk and then engaging in a street brawl. He wasn't charged because he successfully persuaded police that he hadn't fed the dog alcohol, and he did this by showing them photographs of the person that he'd been fighting with feeding the dog alcohol instead. There is a book I'd recommend actually called the Decade in Tory, which really goes into encyclopedic detail about all these sort of things, and of course rather begs the question of why the party has sat on it, if you pardon the expression, for so long. But anyway, that's just one mystery that we won't be solving today. Don't ring in and try and solve the mystery of why the conservative politicians who've been pretending to care passionately about Angela Rayner's tax affairs from 10 years ago have been absolutely silent and only suspended this Mark Menzies fella over alleged misuse of funds when a journalist reported the story. They didn't do it when they found out about it. They did it when it got reported. So don't ring in about that, because it's Mystery Hour, okay? And I need to remind you what that means. It's building up a bit of tension. Two things. The first is you can win a Mystery Hour board game. The most glittering prize in the history of British radio, it has been suggested. In fact, last week's winner posted a lovely photograph of himself with it, which warmed the cockles of my heart, actually. And you do that by being my favourite contributor of the week. It's no more complicated than that. And my decision is final, and the full terms and conditions are at lbc.co.uk. And the second thing you need to know is, and you can find your own Mystery Hour. If you don't win one, you can buy one at mysteryhour.co.uk. Which reminds me, I must remember to plug the paperback of my book, which comes out on Thursday, with a new chapter and indeed an index. And the index is really, I've never had anything as grown up as an index in my books before, but it means that, you know, when you're trying to find that little nugget of information about a politician getting a dog drunk or something like that, and you know you read it in my book, but you can't find, you can just go to the index, find it, and then lo and behold, you'll get all those little argument-winning items of evidence, nuggets of fact that we all love so much. But the second thing is, actually, there is no second thing, really. You're not supposed to repeat yourself, but there aren't really any other rules. And don't ring in with questions that we've already answered. The TNCs are at lbc.co.uk. I've already mentioned that. So we always used to think there were two things I had to mention at the top of Mystery Hour, but now I can only think of one. We usually forget the rest. You're not supposed to Google anything, but that's fairly obvious. No, we'll crack on. 9 after 12, Dane's in Stoke-on-Trent. Dane, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on.
Why is it that when long hair is tied up into a single piece, it's called a ponytail, but when it's tied into multiple pieces, it's called pigtail?
Because they're shorter.
But it doesn't look like a pig's tail, though, does it?
Well, it depends on the breed.
I'm more sort of thinking it's like a singular plural thing. I've got a young daughter, and it occurred to me the other day that whenever we tie her hair back, we only ever use ponytail as a singular and pigtails as a plural.
So it would be as a plural. You can't have a single pigtail. What's the difference between a pigtail and a ponytail? Answer singular and plural.
Yeah, so why is it not ponytails? Because that doesn't feel right.
Ponytails. Pigtails. I mean, pigtails doesn't actually make much sense on any level, because as you've correctly pointed out, there's not much resemblance to a pig's tail, and because they're not curly. I mean, a pig's tail is curly, isn't it? If memory serves, or curly-ish.
Yeah. Ponytail does look like a horse's tail, but pigtails don't look like pigtails. And yeah, why is it the thing? Why is the one?
There's
animal
a lovely
the singular
question here. There's a lovely question. I'm not sure we've nailed it down yet, Dane.
Well, Well, I'm thinking, why is ponytail singular and why is pigtails plural is what's occurring.
But that, no, but that's a question that contains the answer, or an answer that contains the question, isn't it? I mean, because it is, so no pig has two tails.
No.
It looks like a ponytail coming down the, you know, the centre of the back of the head. I put it, yeah, all right. So, but why? Why? Pigtails, this is how I'm going to do it, Dane, all right? I'm going to do it like this. Okay. Pigtails, ponytails. Why?
Keep it simple.
Yeah, exactly that. And I like that. So then they can answer whatever question they want, as long as it involves pigtails, ponytails. Why? Anthony's in Blackpool. Anthony, question or answer?
Yes, hi, James.
Hello, Anthony.
My question is, do cats retain memories of traumatic events?
Why do you ask?
I asked this.
Yeah.
I asked this. I thought you might ask. I asked this because ours was at a cattery about a year ago.
Yeah.
And it went missing for 2 weeks.
From the cattery?
No. Yeah, that's unfortunately. I won't go into detail.
No, weren't happy about that, were you?
And we haven't turned it back to the same cattery.
I'm not surprised.
But it was in an alien environment. You know, it was in a semi-rural area, quite a distance away from home, so it would have been very foreign to it.
Mm.
And we were fortunate enough to get it back.
How did you get it? How did you get it back?
Well, it had a blanket. There was a blanket that we used to have on the settee,
yeah,
which my dog would often lie on. And
right,
the dog is very good friends with this cat.
Oh, that's nice.
So
yeah,
the smells were on this blanket.
Yeah.
So the people at the cattery got hold of a trap.
Right.
Not, you know, a cruel trap.
No, like a cage.
Obviously.
Trap. Yeah.
We didn't want to identify.
Yeah, not a snare. Not a snare. I mean, not an illegal sort of sprang, got you. No, a trap.
It wouldn't have been great getting the cat back in that condition.
No, certainly
and
not.
They were
in enough trouble as it is, Anthony.
That's right. We got the stay for free, at least, for the dog and two cats.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was neither here nor there. It was very
so
upsetting.
They put the blanket in the cage and it tempted the cat in.
Yeah.
So they knew the cat was around. The cat hadn't gone far. It hadn't tried to get home, for example.
Yeah, yeah. We've been searching around late at night.
Oh, I've been
apparently
there.
A cat's first thing is safety.
Yeah.
And if they hear people and if they're rattling their favourite treats, they'll hide away.
Ours came out for one of my girls, you know. Been missing ours came out for one of my girls. It'd been missing for about a week and we got a report from not that far away, but it had been bonfire night when he went missing, so that you know, there'd be trauma there.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
And so we took the cage with us and we all were walking up the road, only about half a mile from where we live, but not on a route we normally go on. And my oldest, whose cat it is, was just calling him and he came to her.
Oh my word.
And we'd already, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, Anthony, I'd given up hope, but I hadn't shared that. I hadn't shared that with the family at the time. Mrs. O'Brien, the optimist in our relationship, had been putting leaflets through letterboxes and all sorts of things and up on the local Facebook group. But I thought after a week, I thought that's it. But no, it came to her
James,
call, came to her voice.
Apparently, they can go missing for up to a year or more.
And still and know then what home is.
And then still be rediscovered, yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it? So what we want to... do you think there is evidence of trauma?
No, it's not apparent on the surface. I think the only difference in behaviour we've noticed, is that I think that he stays in a little bit more.
Well, that's...
He still goes out,
but
it's not quite as adventurous.
It'd be quite scary, wouldn't it?
It's more of a home bird.
Yeah, but, you know, nature, you don't have that refuge. It'd be like us, really. You know, if we had to sleep rough, we'd probably
absolutely
be a bit traumatised by it. So I don't know. How would we know? How could we answer the question?
That's another question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that might be the answer, that we don't.
Oh, yeah. Go on, it's gone a bit philosophical.
Fundamentally, my question is, does he retain any
Does he know? Does he have, like, a form of feline PTSD?
Yeah. I mean, my dog remembers houses where he's gone past and he's been given a treat.
Yeah. No, ours does too. Gets a sniff in her nostrils and she'll go bonkers. I like that question. I like
Thank
that
you
a lot. Also, we've got... Well, it's lovely to speak to you. Our cats and dogs are friends as well. It's nice, that, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, one of them is. One of the cats hisses at our dog when the dog's been to the groomers and had his hair trimmed.
Doesn't recognise him. Thinks he's a stranger. Thinks there's a cuckoo in the nest. Haven't got a cuckoo. Thank you, Anthony. It's 12:15.
Mystery Hour.
Ever wanted a vacuum that can just do it all? Muddy car boot, a garden spruce up, even a washing machine leak. A Kärcher wet and dry vacuum is ideal for all those tough jobs your indoor vacuum can't handle. from sawdust to heavy rubble and liquid. Save time and effort tackling all those messy jobs. Bring back the wow to your garden, home or car with a Kärcher Wet and Dry vacuum.
With the all-new Mini Countryman, everything just got bigger. That means Mini's biggest electric range. Bigger technology and bigger adventures. With space for everybody. Even him. He's a good boy. And all this bigness comes from a Mini. The new Mini Countryman. Our biggest Mini ever. Book your test drive today. Electric range 245 to 287 miles. WLTP figures off comparison purposes. Real life results may vary. Test drive subject to status and availability.
On LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060973.
It is 17 minutes after 12. The cats retain trauma and pigtails, ponytails. Why? Tony's in Chingford. Tony, question or answer?
It's question, James. Hello again, how are you?
Hello, Tony. Very well. What's the question?
I was reading a book by Bill Bryson last week, and there was a chapter in it about when the Pilgrims went to America, and they tried to get on really well with the Native American Indians in the tribes. But it turned out they couldn't communicate in the Indian language because it was so harsh.
Right.
There was so few vowel language sounds in it. So I was wondering, what is the harshest, least vowely language in the world?
So like all sort of.
Yeah. It was all
like Keop in Battle of the Planets.
Yeah, a bit Klingon-y.
Yes. No. the least vowel sound. I mean, would anyone be able to answer that? Is it the kind of thing that linguists measure?
I don't know. Actually,
I was wondering.
It just struck me as they did actually find two Indians that could speak English, so there was all right after all. But
how did that happen?
Oh well, one of the Indians, a guy called Somerset, was actually
Somerset. Sorry. Yeah.
He's actually. Taken as a slave, and he ended up spending 9 years in, I think it was Coventry or something. I don't know.
Good anyway, Lord. Hadn't he suffered enough? And then he went back and still had the ability. I haven't read that book. I like Bill Bryson. I don't remember reading that one. Try and find out for you. What was the other one called? The other one that could speak English? Somerset and Devon?
Satotwee or something. I'll pronounce that wrong.
That's all right. It's got too many vowels in it. Thank you, Tony. That's how we want the language with the least amount of vowels, please, on 0345 6060973. Or vowel sounds, because the language concerned wouldn't actually have vowels in it, but what we would call a vowel sound. So if I speak French, if I say je parle français, there's lots of vowely sounds there, isn't there? Simon is in Ikaria in Greece. Kalimera. Oh, is it Kalimera? Is it, what time is it there?
Yeah, it's Kalimera. It's 20 past two.
20 past two. So it's Kalispera, almost.
Kalispera.
What's question or answer?
It's a question, James. How are you doing, by the way? You all right?
Can't complain, Simon. Etsy Ketsy. What have you got?
Yeah. Etsy Ketsy.
Etsy Ketsy.
Come see, come sir.
Yeah, that's
all
the
right,
one.
So look, my question is this. I've often wondered about it. When Rangers and Celtic play, or the other way round, in Glasgow, why is it called the Old Firm Derby?
Good Lord, I should know that.
Well, I thought you might.
Yeah,
but you don't, do you?
No, I don't. You're absolutely right. Dex Zeron. Horace. Crikey. No, the Old Firm. I was trying to say no idea then, but I forgot what idea was. I got the Horace bit. Right. That would be no, wouldn't it? But I forgot what idea was. Yeah, you're on. Yeah, I like it. Ferris stop pulley, Simon. Carol Taxidi.
But I see you soon, mate.
You will? Well, you won't, but it's a figure of speech. 21 minutes after. Well, you might. I mean, who knows? I get to Greece most summers, but not Ikaria. John's in Shepton Mallet. In Somerset. There's a slave named after that. Well, question or answer?
Yeah, I'm not going to sacrifice my question, but I could have answered the last question.
No,
but
yeah,
I'll give you
I bet
my
you could.
Question.
Go on then.
Yeah, my question is, when the interest rates of the Bank of England go up, in terms of, let's say, mortgages, yeah?
Yeah.
So when my mortgage, and I'll just use, easy figures here, £1,000.
Yeah.
And the Bank of England increased the interest rates.
Yeah.
And let's say, just to make it easy, it goes up to £1,500. does my retail bank, let's say Barclays or Bank of Scotland or whoever it might be, have they instantly made a windfall of £500?
Say that again. Sorry, I got a bit distracted.
All right, OK. Forget about the old firm for a moment.
No, it wasn't that. Go on.
All right, OK.
It's this Mark Menzies story, John. People keep sending me new things about him, and I might close my screen and concentrate properly. Go on, what?
Right, OK. Right, so when the Bank of England changed interest rates, so specifically let's use mortgage. So if the mortgage is £1,000, and because of an interest rate rise, it goes up to £1,500,
that's the bit where I got confused. Your mortgage doesn't go up to 50. You mean your payment?
Yeah. Sorry.
Right. So your monthly payment goes up because of the interest rates from 1,000 to 1,500.
Yep.
Yeah.
So has the retail bank, whoever you've got it with, Barclays or Bank of Scotland or whatever, have they instantly made a £500 additional profit?
No.
Why?
I'm not sure.
They were making a profit on £1,000, so why is the Bank of England changing their base rate, change the retail?
Because they are paying out more on the money that they are holding in savings as well.
Well, they aren't, because we know that. It's not the same differential, is there?
No, it's not.
They're very slow to react on the savings aspect. But even if you took that into account, there's still a bigger differential between the two. And so, therefore, is it a windfall? No, windfall tax.
But no, okay. I understand the question. I'm embarrassed by... I mean, I was embarrassed enough not to know what the old firm's all about. But, so somebody somewhere just makes money when interest rates go up. It actually seems quite feasible.
Well, the bank or the shareholders or whoever. Yeah,
you're on.
I know they probably don't, and it's probably more...
No, it probably isn't. That's the problem, isn't it? We think it's all complicated, and it isn't. Otherwise, how could Jacob Rees-Mogg make a ton of money in the financial market?
Yeah, exactly. It's just that, from £1,000 to £500, what happened to that £500 that I'm now paying to Barclays or Bank of Scotland or whoever?
Yeah. Yeah, great question. Cheers, John.
No worries.
12:24 is the time. Bob's in Kennington. Bob, question or answer?
Question.
Carry on.
How did ships that were sail powered travel up the Thames to the docks?
Well, by sail power?
No, if there was no wind.
Well, you didn't say that, did you, Bob?
If there was no wind on a calm day, the estuary up to the St. Catherine's docks, and likewise back again.
They'd have a few oars, wouldn't they?
No, but I'm talking, like.
They'd have a few oars.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I wondered if it was tidal, but surely that
for emergency. If it's specifically the Thames, it might be tidal.
I am taught, specifically the Thames. But then, I imagine turning into...
But that's what I mean. There is no wind at all, and you need to set sail. But actually, Bob, we've both missed this, I think. No, I'm not. I'm not even joking. I think they wait for the wind, mate.
Could be waiting for weeks.
Well, that is why it was very hard to give an accurate time of arrival for sailing ships.
I suppose that says for departure as well, doesn't it? Yeah.
Well, you remember that I read a lot of fiction from sort of 17th century set crime fiction, and you, there's always someone who's invested his life savings in a slave ship, and then they're down at Bristol Dock every day, hoping it's going to turn up. They've got no way of knowing whether or not he's going to come back with his fortune, or whether he's going to be in penury.
Right.
So you can't make any predictions based on wind accurately. So I mean, I'm putting it on the board, but I think that we were thinking about it in very 21st century terms, and presuming it has to set sail at 2 o'clock. Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to have to give all the passengers a refund.
Yeah.
But you'd wait for the wind. You'd wait for the wind to come out. I think I'm reading that in one of S.W. Perry's book recently, where the Italians, there's only a certain type of day where they can set sail, and it will be partly because of tides and partly because of wind. And if the wind doesn't turn up, then the tides don't matter.
Because, like, the Cutty Sark hasn't got holes for whores, does it?
Or, no, I think know. Let's pretend I never said that bit, if it's all right with you, with your permission.
Granted.
Thank you.
Lovely. Thanks, James.
No, I love that question. Thank you, Bob. 1226, how do the sailing boats get up and down the Thames if there isn't any wind? If indeed they do. Simon's in Littlehampton. Simon, question or answer?
Hello, James. It's a question for you.
Carry on, mate.
We were watching a fairly newish drama, 12, the other week,
yeah.
And there's a courtroom scene. I think it's set in New Zealand. And the courtroom scene with Sam Neill had...
I love him.
It was superb. And the judges are wearing white wigs, which made me ask, is the white wig a worldwide thing?
No.
And so why only the two countries then? Well, it wouldn't be.
It's probably other Commonwealth countries as well, no? I mean, I think it goes back to Charles II.
Right.
There's a lot of wigs around during that during the Restoration.
Because the wigs were meant to be as a disguise, weren't they? The judges didn't get recognised.
In the street, I think so. I'm pretty sure, because, I mean, we've watched some big cases in America, haven't we? And they don't wear wigs.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's the answer to your question. Is it worldwide? No, because there are plenty of countries where you don't wear a wig. But does it extend anywhere beyond the sort of reach of UK law, British law? I don't think it does. I think it's a peculiarly British thing.
Yeah.
Commonwealth. I'll put it on the board. Well, I'm tempted to take a round of applause for that one, just because.
Well, I think you should.
I do too.
I'm just wondering what other countries.
Well, I might allow a steward's inquiry on it, but you know, qualifications. I was watching the O.J. Simpson trial the other day when the fella died, and they re-showed it, and he definitely had no wig on. Judge Judy doesn't wear a wig.
For sure.
I'll take it, but it may be improved subsequently by someone else. Thank you.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what countries do.
Yeah, exactly that. If it does extend beyond the Commonwealth. Thank you, Simon. Ian's in Dorking. Ian, question or answer?
Hi, James. It's an answer about the cat, basically.
On. Yes.
I suppose widening his question, the question is, do cats hold grudges?
Yes.
Is an allied question, and they absolutely most certainly do.
Oh.
They certainly, it will depend on the cat's experiences in life, and if they've learned to be quite chilled out about the challenges that life throws at them, then things are obviously less likely to traumatise them. Some of them will be quite irrational in what they consider is a traumatic event.
Yes.
But we do, certainly in the cat world and in the veterinary world, we do kind of focus on trying to make cats' experiences of things like going to the vet as non-traumatic as possible, so that they want to go back next time, or they tolerate going back next time, as opposed to having a hissy fit about things.
Yeah,
really.
I mean, they're learning. That's learning, but it doesn't mean they're traumatised. It just means they remember not to trust that fellow over there with the massive net.
Yeah, fair point, James. I think I've certainly met a few that were permanently traumatised.
A scatty cat.
It's a scatty cat. It's a sliding scale, I suppose.
Yes, it is. Anthony's cat, lost in the wilds of Lancashire, probably would have been a bit, like you said, he goes out less now because he's frightened. Somewhere there's a memory of not knowing where he was and being all scared, and so he has been traumatised by that.
Yeah, they do a lot of their learning in the first sort of 9 weeks of life as kittens, and they're very much hardwired at that point. But they will, you know, by negative association, they will.
It's learned behaviour almost. It's actually, were you listening last week?
I was, and I wasn't able. I've never been able to answer one of the questions.
But there was one of our favourite questions last week. The first question last week was, why are pheasants so stupid? And in some ways, the answer is the same as yours about cats, because pheasants are bred for shooting. They don't get the chance to learn about danger. And in fact, if you're running a pheasant shoot, the last thing you want is a pheasant that understands danger, because they'll be flying off in the opposite direction at 100 miles an hour, not going anywhere near the guns. And they don't live. If a pheasant actually lives out one season, it will develop an ability to stay off roads, for example, or less, it becomes less likely to get run over. So in a way, it's the same answer, isn't it, to two very different questions.
And they're also, I mean, they aren't solely predators. They are mid-food chain. So
cats, of course.
Cats are prey animals as well as predators, but they're bodily designed that they don't have the compensation in their evolution that a prey animal would have, like a rabbit with the eyes on the side of the head.
No, I hear
so
you.
They're in this permanent state of neurosis because they have to overcompensate for to overcompensate for not having those prey animal characteristics.
Qualifications?
Veterinary nurse.
That'll do
and
nicely.
Work for a cat charity.
Can't say fairer than that. Round of applause for Ian, please. I hope Anthony is satisfied with that answer. I certainly am. Tim Humphrey is here with your headlines.
Mystery Hour.
Lorraine and Trev finally have a night to themselves. Their daughter Liv is out, but they can't help worrying.
Weird. Liv hasn't texted us yet.
That's Liv asking for more data so she can upload a dance to...
Let me guess. TikTok.
Data sent. Lorraine and Trev kick back to their saucy rom-com.
Now she wants picking up.
Typical.
Share data with your kids when they run out. Search EE Mobile.
Excludes no frills plans. Terms apply.
James O'Brien. This is LBC.
12:35 is the time. Normally, Mystery Hour is sacrosanct, but I confessed earlier to John, I think, asking the question about interest rates, that I had allowed myself to be distracted by more and more detail of allegations against Mark Menzies, the Lancashire MP who, as you just heard in the news, has now been suspended as a trade envoy. Where was he a trade envoy for? Goodness me. So I'm going to read you this one as well. More recently, Menzies' Lancashire constituency has been abuzz with gossip about a drunken incident at the last night of the Proms concert featuring Catherine Jenkins, held in the grounds of Lytham Hall in August. Menzies, who was invited to the event by the local mayor, is said to have turned up intoxicated and got into a row with other patrons after discovering that seats had not been reserved for his party within the VIP section. One attendee said the MP started kicking the chair. I get that right. One attendee said the MP, quotes, started kicking the chairs and poking the people on the front row. Right, now pay attention because this gets very funny towards the end. Creating a disturbance for ticket holders who had paid £150 each for the event. He was spoken to by security and appeared to be heavily intoxicated by the end of the concert. A source close to the MP acknowledged that he had had too much to drink, but said he hadn't intentionally poked anyone and may have done it by accident when waving a flag. Kiz in Cumbran. Question or answer, Kit?
It's an answer.
Oh, ow! Stop waving that flag!
Tories will Tory, right?
Yeah, something like that. Go on then, what have you got?
Oh, it's about the interest rates. So, the guy was asking whether
yes.
an increase in the rate would be automatic profit. It doesn't quite work that way because the banks will go to the other institutions and pay the going rate, which is directly related to the rate that the Bank of England set. So it's called a LIBOR rate.
You might
remember the scandal a while ago.
So
they all just go to the markets and borrow a load of money at that rate and then lend it out. But obviously, as the base rate changes, the rate that they pay will change. So it's not like they just go to the market for your little tiny chunk of mortgage, and therefore, when the rates change, they make a profit on that. It's a whole bank of money that they agree a rate on when they borrow it from the markets. But then obviously, as the rates change, they pass that on. So it's not a direct relationship between the rates and the profits. It kind of, there's a bit of a lag. So it's
but they will make, so when interest rates go up, though, however, although they're not going to get all of John's money, that it is, I mean, for a retail bank shareholder, that would be good news, would it?
It's 6 2/3, because obviously they'll make more money from the savings, potentially, because they pass that on too, but they borrow your money and then invest that. So the chances are, when things are going well, even though they're paying you more on your interest, they'll be making more in profits for the underlying investments they got. But with regards to the borrowing, not really. It doesn't really matter because they'll have their fixed margin and they'll just pass that on, whether it's...
So it keeps getting, keeps going down the line. So where does that £500 end up, if you to take John's question back to source?
Oh, it ends up in the ether through the markets, because obviously the inter rates, everyone gets their slice of it, so it doesn't just end up in
a bit mad money, doesn't it, once you push the questions. Where does it go? Look, I pay £1,000 a month and now I'm paying £1,500 a month. Where's that £500 a week next Tuesday?
That's a really good question. Nobody knows. So basically, because the whole system is interconnected, well, you don't forget, what you're paying is money that they borrowed a long time ago.
Yes,
so
of
it's
course.
It's not a direct thing. So, but it's like a whole pool of money. If you
yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, I get that. So the answer is going to be it's a notional destination at some unspecified point in the future is where it's going to end up.
Probably some offshore Tory account. Yeah,
behave yourself.
Sorry.
Qualifications?
Financial advisor.
You can have a round of applause. I think, you know, there might be room for embellishment or improvement, but I can hear people zoning out, which is part of the problem. It's why Martin Lewis is so adamant about why we need better financial education at school. 12:39 is the time. Alan is in Stewarton. I can have a guess at which one you're going to have a crack at from Ayrshire. Question or answer, Alan?
It's an answer, James.
Carry on. It's an oddly controversial question, this, isn't it? Which perhaps the questioner didn't even realise.
It could be controversial.
Go on, then.
It could be. Okay, so the term originated early in the 20th century between an early meeting of the two teams where the commentators actually described the game as like a meeting between two old firm friends.
There it
and
is.
And that's where the term stuck from.
That's pretty strong. That gets you a round of applause. Qualifications?
Celtic supporter.
Why did people get in touch to say that this didn't apply after 20... Well, I forget exactly what year it was.
2012. Basically, 2012. What happened is Rangers embarked on massive tax avoidance and the club was liquidated. So out of the grave of the old Rangers came a Phoenix club known as Sevco. PLC. So
yes.
The old firm has basically died, and in its place is now the Glasgow Derby.
But the phrase still persists, doesn't it?
Well,
or not.
One half of Glasgow.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Round of applause.
Thank you.
Welcome. David's in Brom. Actually, I should remind you of some of the other questions that we're looking for. So, ponytails, pigtails. Why? Cat trauma, we've done. Which language has the fewest vowel sounds? Old firm, we've done. Interest rates, we've done. How do sailing ships get going when there isn't any wind? Brackets, if indeed they do. And does the bewigged judge, is that peculiar to British law, British Commonwealth law? I don't think it is. Lots of people tell me French judges wear wigs as well. So what's the reason? What's the difference between a judge who wears a wig and a judge who doesn't? I'll embellish that question ever so slightly. That's all I've got at the moment. 12:41 is the time. And David is in Bromley. David, question or answer?
It's question, James. Good afternoon.
Yes.
So I want to tread very carefully here. I do not want to cause offence to anyone whatsoever. So I want to put that first.
Okay.
There's a people group that were once known as Red Indians.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to know how and where that originated. I know that's not the correct term. And
no, I mean, so perfectly, you don't need to tie yourself in knots on this. Native Americans we're talking about, or American Indians. Is it indigenous?
Yes.
Is it? Because what you've got the Indies, haven't you? You've got the... But I don't know, it's chicken and egg. What came first, the Indies
you're
or...
You're now, yeah.
No, I'm not. Not at all. But what came first, naming the territory, the Indies, or naming the people Indian? That's that. I don't know, is the short answer to that. It's a complexion reference. It is just a lazy language to describe exotic foreigners, some of whom had brown skin if they came from the subcontinent, and the ones that were encountered in the New World had different complexions, which they chose to describe as red. So I don't know, what's the origin of the phrase Red Indian? There's nothing to worry about there, mate. That's a perfectly reasonable question.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I shall put it on the board. 12:42 is the time. Chris is in Margate. Chris, question or answer?
It's an answer, James.
Carry on.
So it's the answer for the question about how the sailing ships go up the Thames when there's no wind. So you're quite right in saying, you know, when there's no wind, and a sailing ship isn't going to do very well when there's no wind.
Yeah.
But there were numerous techniques that they could use. So the big ships would often use like berthing boats or I suppose like an old style of tugboat, which would just be a bunch of strong crew members in small boats, small rowboats in front of them, and they would just row these enormous ships.
Because it's like Britain's strongest man, isn't it? I mean, once you've got a tiny bit...
Once you've got it going.
Yeah, once you've got it going, it's a lot easier than it sounds. And they would do that by tugging.
Yeah, so they would tug the big ships in.
Which is... Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, but the Thames barges, which were going up and down the Thames all the time, bringing cargo... in. They actually developed a technique which was called drudging.
Oh, yes. With the anchors.
So what you'd do is you'd use the tide rather than the wind, and you would wait for the tide to be going up the river, if that's indeed the way that you're going.
Yes.
And you'd drop your anchor at the front, but not enough that it's going to take hold and stop you from moving. So it's bouncing along the bottom.
Yeah.
And then with the force of the tide, that anchor just keeps you facing the oncoming tide, and you can use your rudder to steer you as you go backwards with the tide, and you've just got just enough control from the anchor bouncing along the bottom of the river.
Was it is it difficult to do? Is it quite tricky to get the hang of?
Drudging is quite a difficult technique. Just knowing how much anchor to drop down so that it does just bounce along the bottom is what you don't want to put to completely hold, and obviously these old ships didn't have a have any sort of hydraulic winches for getting the anchor up and down, so you're relying on manpower to winch it back up again if you haven't got it far enough or if you need to put a bit more down.
Qualifications?
So I'm a barge mate on a Thames barge, and we still often sail up the Thames, and some of the barges still don't have engines in them, so often have to figure out ways of getting up.
Was it a family? Is it a family thing? Were you born into? No.
I'm a member with the Thames Sailing Barge Trust.
Okay.
Which is based in Maldon, in Essex. We've got two barges, and we still race the Thames barges on the Thames.
I remember that. Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen the races. Mm. So, do you still compete for Doggett's coat and badge, or is it something else?
So there's a whole load of silverware, because the Thames Sailing Barge Match is actually the second oldest sailing race in the world after the America's Cup.
Wow.
The difference is we're still using the same boats that were used when it was first started. So
blimey.
You might actually say that it's the oldest sailing race in the world.
Yeah, but certainly in terms of what actually goes on, it is just the name isn't quite as old as the America's Cup. I love that. That's a perfect answer and a well richly deserved round of applause. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
I love the Thames. I know that sounds a bit partridgey, but I really do. Always. I've lived near it now for absolutely yonks, and I'd really, really miss it if I didn't. My favourite bit at the moment is up with the old boatyards around Brentford, where if you squint, actually come back a bit, Chris. Is it true that you know the really fancy boat that they get out for the Royals on special occasions?
Oh yes, the Gloriana.
Where's that kept?
Well, it was kept in St Catherine's Dock, but I was in St Catherine's Dock just a couple of days ago, and it's not there anymore.
Do we know where it is?
It's been moved somewhere. Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's mostly polystyrene.
No, I didn't know that, and I wish you hadn't told me.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. Yeah. I mean, it's going to feel beautiful. The same next time, is it, going past? There goes that polystyrene boat. Yeah. That sums up pageantry in a way, doesn't it? I don't want to get all Republican about it, but the royal family's been mostly polystyrene for years.
Yeah, true.
I heard a rumour they kept it in Brentford.
I think you might be right. Yeah, I think it might be.
I've got a theory where it is. I think they keep it in a very nondescript...
I know one of the barge skippers was tasked with moving it. Not so long ago.
Lovely stuff.
It's mostly carved polystyrene rather than that's then just been painted gold.
Do you know, it's funny you say that, right? Because I've got a gatepost that needs a thing sticking on top of it.
Right.
And they cost thousands. Man, there's no earthly way I'm paying what they charge for one of these things.
Yeah.
But it has to match the thing on top of the other gatepost.
Right, so you're thinking polystyrene.
I said to Mrs. O'Brien, let's get one made of fiberglass or polystyrene or something like that. Who's going to know?
Yeah, who is going to know?
If you clip it, obviously you're going to have a bit of a problem. You've reinvigorated my idea. Did Chris get a round of applause? Did we give it? Well done. Chris, thank you. It covered a lot of ground there, quite unexpectedly, some of it. 12:48 is the time.
Hello there. Victoria's had a Friday night to remember.
But now she's outside in the pouring rain and...
You are joking. I've got no data. How are we going to get home?
But then she remembers she's with EE.
Yes, Uber still works.
So then she...
Uber's on me, guys. Should we get a kebab?
Use essential apps like Uber and WhatsApp even when you run out of data. Search EE Mobile.
Stay connected at 0.5 megabits per second. Excludes no frills plans. Terms apply.
TUI presents The Relaxing Escape. Sunrise. Yoga. Breakfast on a white sand tropical beach. A dip in your swim-up suite. A little read on your daybed. A cooking class. Sure. Massage. Bliss. Lose all track of time. Your next relaxing escape, sorted. Book online, on the app, or in store. TUI. Live happy. Atoll protected.
How exciting is it to play the British Heart Foundation's weekly flutter?
Ka-ching!
Exciting enough to get your heart racing. Just a little bit. Like texting a mate. The same time they text you. Huh. Like flipping pancakes with majestic grace. Or spotting that last parking space. Yes! With the added joy of knowing the money you donate helps to fund life-saving research. £1 to play, £1,000 to win every week. Search British Heart Foundation Weekly Lottery. See? It's a little bit exciting.
Gamble responsibly. Over 18s only. T's and C's apply. Please see our website for more details. British Heart Foundation is a registered charity.
With the Purina ONE 3-week challenge, I can see a visible difference. My cat has a great appetite. They're full of energy, has a healthy digestion, and their eyes are so bright. So why not introduce your cat to Purina ONE Nutrition? It balances the bad and good bacteria to help support their gut microbiome. To start the 3-week challenge, search for Purina ONE's blue pack online and in store. Purina ONE, visible health for today and tomorrow.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
12:51 is the time. These questions still need answers. Ponytails, pigtails. Why? What language has the least vowel sounds? Than the ships. Wigs and judges. What's that all about, eh? And why were Native Americans known as, or Aboriginal Americans, indigenous Americans, why were they known as Red Indians? 0345 6060 973. Will's in Camberwell. Will, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on, Will.
So it's the one you just gave. Christopher Columbus headed west to find a route to India, stumbled across Cuba, and thought he was in India. So he called all the people he met Indians. At the time, they would obviously have been quite tanned and quite west hemisphere in the sunshine and stuff. And they looked different to him, so they were called Red Indians. But
pretty straightforward. I like that.
Pretty straight. And people up in Oka, which is up in Canada, they literally put red stuff on their skin for war paint, that kind of thing.
Oh, cool.
So, so the name stuck.
Qualifications?
It was a couple of years ago. I got nothing else was on the telly. I watched a load of YouTube videos about the history of the Native Americans, and I'm not a hugely emotional person, but the trauma that they suffered really, really got to me. And I sort of looked into it and read about their history, and all the way they liked to be addressed was an interesting thing. Yeah. My understanding is they like to be called by the tribe they're members of, so Lakota or Navajo or Cheyenne.
Yes.
It's had some, an older generation quite like Indian because it's what it's sort of stuck as.
Okay.
Native American is a curious one, concluding, because if you look on YouTube, there's a really nice YouTuber guy, white Italian-American guy. He speaks to an old medicine man, says, don't call me Native American. You're a Native American too.
Okay.
I to you, I'm a Lakota.
Lakota, which refers to, I should try and remember that. I think I'd probably have the same response as you to stuff like that. I'm trying to remember what the phrase is on the New York Times crossword, because quite often tribes come up as clues, because they've got a disproportionate amount of vowels in them, which is always helpful to people setting crosswords.
Right.
But I can't remember. But you've just said some of the answers that come up, like Cree. And is it Oti? Oti or
Oti?
Yeah.
That's another one of them.
But I can't remember what the clue is. They give the clue, and then it could be one of those various answers. But yeah, don't know. Double that. You've covered a lot of ground there. Perfect qualifications. Round of applause.
Thank you.
Thank you. Victoria's in Eppingham. Victoria, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
This is not an academic answer. Just as a mother of three daughters, it's the pigtails, ponytail thing.
Right.
I would say that you would only say pigtails if they're little toddlers with little ringlet bunchies. So they've got two ponytails, so bunchies, but they look like pig's tails. They're fine hair, it's curled. But then once they get past that stage, you say bunchies.
I've never heard the phrase bunchies in my life.
No.
Bunchies?
Yeah. Bunchies, so you get two bunches of hair and that's it.
But it's not like a bunch, it's a ponytail coming out the side of your head.
Two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, bunches.
Yes.
No, I thought you said bunchies.
Well, me and your person who called me, we were just debating it. Am I getting it wrong? But most people, I think we say, oh, should we do your hair in bunchies? But I think it's actually bunchies.
I've never heard bunchies before.
That's bunchies?
Sounds inappropriate. I don't want to come on my programme with your bunchies. Bunches. So my sister had her hair in bunches when we were kids growing up.
Yeah,
so you're right. So the pigtail. Do you know what? By Jove, I think you're right. I actually think you're right.
And it looks like little pig's tails.
You'd never say pig's tails to a sort of 12-year-old, would you?
No.
That would be bunches.
Even I'd say up three and upwards, really, it stops. So once the hair gets thicker and straighter.
I think you've bloody done it, Victoria.
These mums, we know our stuff.
And so actually, the whole premise of the question was wrong, because they do look like pig's tails.
Yes, they do. And it's just two pig's tails.
A round of applause.
Thank you.
Beautifully done. Thank you. 12:55 is the time. Mike's in Winchester. Mike, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
It's regarding the question about the languages with the kind of least amount of vowels and the highest amount of consonants. I wanted to put forward Adige, which is a Circassian language. So, for example, I think we hear about Boris Johnson's great-grandfather, who was Turkish. I think his mother was Circassian. But otherwise, they're not very well known.
Okay.
But I know that Adige only has three vowels, which, if I'm correct, is essentially just a, air, and . And then there's about 55 consonants.
Crikey.
So
or rather cracky.
I think one of the big reasons for that is because they have what's called a lot of ejective consonants. So whereas, for example, in the word paper, we would just pronounce a P as we would pronounce it.
Closer.
They say or if they're saying the cur sound in car, they could say car. It's where like a glossal stop
clicks, like Bedouin click type things.
Yeah.
Speak it?
No, I don't. But I've looked into it in great detail.
Well, I want to hear it now, don't I, Mike?
Well, I could give. I mean, for example, they also have the sound, which is in Welsh, famously. But they have an adjective version of
like
that.
So like that.
Yeah.
And these are all. Yeah. I like this. I tell you what. It's a contender, isn't it, Adige?
It is.
You don't know. You're just offering it up as a possibility. You've got no reason to think it might actually be the mothership of low vowel language.
Correct. I mean, I just know from being a sort of amateur linguist and hobbyist, I know that it's quite, it's regarded in the field. It's quite sort of special, really.
It's up there.
Yeah.
It's there all the way. You can have a round of applause. You've told me your qualifications. Amateur linguist. That'll do nicely. What's the difference between an amateur linguist and a professional linguist? Getting paid for it?
Yeah, I don't get paid for this, no.
I mean, oddly, that makes me a professional radio presenter, but who'd have thought that, eh? Paul's in Manchester. Paul, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
Wigs.
Yep.
The inheritance that we have for wigs in this country is basically from, you're quite right, Charles II, 17th century. Gentlemen wore wigs. Aristocracy was associated with the aristocracy. So the inheritance across the Commonwealth is that quite a lot of countries have wigs. We have Australia, New Zealand, some provinces in Canada, several African countries, Kenya, Zimbabwe, Botswana. You see it in the Caribbean.
Qualifications?
KC.
King's Kilt. Well, I'm the Sunshine Band, or are you a lawyer?
I haven't got, and I'm not KFC either.
Why do they wear, apparently people have seen French judges wearing wigs.
No, wrong. You're wrong.
Whoa, okay.
It contradicts the principles of egalite. They abandoned it years ago.
Is that right? Oh, so someone's watching a historical drama, probably.
Yeah, it's
also, I didn't check, Paul. I didn't check when they said they'd seen a French jug wearing a wig. It might just have been for vanity. It might have been like a toupee.
Who knows?
It wasn't a legal wig.
The ridiculous situation we have now is in the Court of Appeal in England, you have the judges just wearing gowns and the barristers wearing full-bottom wigs and silk gowns.
Crikey, that is a bit ridiculous. But it's earned you a round of applause.
Thank you.
There you go. Victoria wins this because that just, I love the way that call just veered from me being a bit snarky and sniffy right through to me realising she was completely right and also saying bunchies on the radio. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on 52, you know.
I came in a bit early just in case you needed help. I wasn't quite sure what I was hearing when you said bunchies.
If you catch up on Global Player, the official LBC app, where you can also pause and rewind live radio. Download it now for free from your app store or head to globalplayer.com. Coming up at 4 on LBC, it's Tom Swarbrick, but now it's time for Sheila Fogarty.
Ah, spring. Little birdies, the smell of freshly cut grass. And at Subway, the all-new Smokehouse menu is on fire. Try the Chipotle cheesesteak with our melted pepper cheese, flaming hot jalapenos, lettuce and peppers, all topped off with our extra spicy Chipotle Southwest sauce. Available in Subway stores and in the app. If you think you can handle the heat, Subway, eat fresh. Freshly prepared per order.